Oh, and dadgummit, I gotta find the answers to question two. Hold on. Let me go to Wikipedia here real quick, and I'll make sure I edit this out somehow. A list of virtual console.
I think that's the start of the show right there.
America. I think you're probably right. Let me go find
the answers under the question.
Howdy, howdy, everybody. What's going on? Welcome to episode 8 of the Nintendo Oki podcast for January 7th, 2010. It's Super Bowl Sunday. I know that's what I'm going to be doing tonight as soon as the Super Bowl comes on, whatever time, whatever channel. I don't even know. But,
I'm already confused.
All right, so this week we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on in the news. We're going to talk about what we've been playing. We're going to talk about handheld gaming and if the iPod, the iPad are competitors with the DS, whether they're completely separate markets or whatever you have going on. But that's a kind of a bit of a rundown. Then we'll do the question block, and we're going to talk about something we're going to be doing on the podcast next week at the end of the show. We'll get into that when the time comes. So let's head into what's in your Wii this week. So we're going to talk a little bit about what we've been playing this week. Shelby, what have you been playing this week?
Borderlands.
How many weeks now have you mentioned that in the what's in your Wii section?
Hey, I'm closing in on 5 days total playtime on that game. So
is that five actual 24-hour periods worth
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I might have passed that last night or this morning. I'm not sure. But Nintendo-wise, all I've played this week is we played some Smash last Sunday, I believe. And that was fun. Played it online. Worked well.
Yeah, I wasn't able to join in those sessions. Was it lag-free again?
Yeah, it's actually working like it did before Mario Kart came out. So I don't know what everybody else's experience is. And by everybody else, I mean all you listeners out there, because everybody on this podcast, I know what their experiences were. But for me, Smash Online worked pretty well, pretty much lag-free, up until the point where Mario Kart came out, and then it just totally was horribly laggy. And it's working great again. I mean, there may be a little bit of lag at first when all the characters are coming and doing their intros, but other than that, it works fine. So, yeah. I don't know what Nintendo did, or whether maybe just people aren't playing it anymore. But
That may have something to do with it. I don't know. But what about you, Will?
Well, this week, Dragon Ball Season 3 came out, so that's all I've been doing. I've been watching that constantly. But I'll tell you about a game I really like for Wii.
All right.
It's the only game in the series I've ever defeated.
It's not Anubis 2 this week, is it?
Yep.
Okay.
It's called The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess.
A very good game.
The day I got the Wii, I had 4 games.
Yeah.
And that was not one of them. But before they actually passed out the Wii, I decided, what the heck, I'll just buy it off the shelf.
Why did you say the 4 Wii game thing if Twilight Princess wasn't one of them?
No. I was there, and I had already bought 4. Well, I had 3 in my room, 3 Wii games for like 2 weeks in my dorm room.
Well, yeah.
And I had Wii Sports coming, so that's 4. But I decided while I was waiting for the Wii to get passed out to buy Twilight Princess that night. So actually, on the first day of Wii, I had 5 games. And yes, Twilight Princess is the best game for the Wii, hands down. I'm saying that right now.
What?
Well, I don't think I would go that far.
You're telling me that you, Will Wackerman, like Twilight Princess better than Smash Brothers Brawl or Wii Sports or anything else?
I think I do.
Really? That is surprising. I didn't realize you liked Twilight Princess.
Well, he did
that
play
much.
It twice in like 2 week period because he beat it once, and then he went through and did a speed run, and I can't remember how fast he did it, but he had finished the game twice in like two and a half weeks. So.
And I played it on Shelby's Wii a few times, but he wouldn't let me get further than he.
No, I had no problem with you getting further than me. You're the one that complained to me that I'd only played it for 2 hours, which I do with every Zelda game for some reason.
But anyway, the best part of that game is the level 4 boss when you're fighting the guy on you're on the top, spinning top thing. That's the best part of the game.
That is pretty cool.
It's one of the better fights. I know Zelda games, for me, they tend to last about 7 or 8 months. Of, you know, I'll play it hard for 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm like, I'm kind of bored of this. I'm going to stop for a while. And it'll sit on the shelf for a couple of months, and then I'll say, you know, I might want to get back to that. And I'll pull it out, and I'll play it for a couple more weeks and get 2 or 3 more levels into it, and then I'll be bored with it again. So.
And Zelda Link's crossbow training is also good.
Zelda did give us laser beams.
Yeah. I think this is a good time to point out that even though I own like every Zelda game except for Phantom Hourglass and the CDI games, I have never beaten a Zelda game.
Really?
I play every Zelda game for about 2 hours and something happens and I stop.
So you don't ever even get past the training segments where you're still learning the moves.
I got to like the Hyrule Market in Ocarina of Time, and I got to where you turn into a wolf in Twilight Princess. And
it's like the beginning.
That's
of
like
the game.
Half an hour into the game.
Hey, I didn't say I was proud of it. Dang it!
And the hardest puzzle for me in the whole game was in the first dungeon, and it was I don't know which order to make these fans spin. And somebody was like, look at the ground. And there was a Z pattern between the pins. Yeah, you go keep on Z.
Before anybody else here or the rest of the internet mocks me for my lack of Zelda progress, I will point out that I have beaten every Metroid game, which more than I could say for any of you guys.
Hey.
Peter's got more than anybody else, except for me.
Yeah, I've never beaten a Metroid game.
Yeah, see, so take that cold stab to the heart and just reverse it. I don't know
so
what that
means. I've beaten every,
Moving on.
All right, I know, speaking of Metroid, I think, Peter, you've been playing some Metroid this week. And you may even be doing it as we speak, I don't know.
Not really. Actually, I'm playing Metroid Prime 2 right now, as we speak. I'm in the dark world, and I'm shooting some, Phantom, whatever these things are. Shelby, you know the name.
The Phantom Hourglass?
Yeah, I don't know. They crawl around on the ground. They're dark. I don't read.
Oh, the Ing. Okay, yeah, they're just Ing.
Well, it told me I have to come back here and get another key, so yeah, that's what I'm doing, getting some keys. But yeah, this game's pretty cool.
And
I've been playing most of this week. I beat the first game. I didn't really beat like Shelby would beat, like collect 100% of the stuff, because when I got done, I only had 70. It said on this version of it, which I'm playing the Metroid Prime Trilogy version of it, it said if I save the game, then I will be done and I will like not be able to play the game. And I said, save. Yes. And so it took me out, and when I went back to look at my progress, it had no progress. I had to start a new game if I want to have the progress. But it did show a little black dot where I figured that meant that I have completed that game on that setting. Because it has no dot anywhere else.
I don't remember Trilogy telling me that when I beat Metroid Prime that I couldn't go back in. I mean, I think I ended with like 95%. I think I missed a couple of missile packs somewhere just because I didn't want to go back and get them. But I don't remember it telling me that I couldn't boot that back up and go find those. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I only had 70%, and I figured it was because I missed a bunch of scans and I missed the harder to find missile packs and things like that. But
73-75%. That's usually about where people are on their first time throwing Prime, because
I had plenty of life when I beat the last boss, because I went through it once and I was halfway through it when I had to quit and go to a basketball game on Monday, because I was like, well, I've beat the boss, but no, I probably haven't beat the boss. There's at least more than one thing you had to beat at the end, and of course I was right, so I had to turn it off and retry, but I knew how to beat him the second time, pretty much. But, yeah, if you save, it asked me after the credits if I wanted to save, and if you hit save, yes, it shows that you've completed it, but it doesn't show any progress anymore. You have to start a whole new game. So that's the one thing that I would watch out for if you buy it and want to save your progress and go back and find stuff.
Definitely. What have you been playing, Tony?
It's been a week of downloadable games for me. I picked up Splosion Man and Turtles in Time on Xbox Live Arcade this week, and both of those games are awesome, by the way. Splosion Man more so than Turtles in Time, I think.
Everybody loves donuts.
Oh, I love that song. I think it is now one of my top three favorite songs, along with the Portal song.
Of all time? Of any song ever?
Of any video game
soundtrack
songs. But,
and of, like, better than any musical artist of all time, like Beethoven.
No, I still think that's from the Turtles concert. So
Beethoven, what?
But on the Wii front, I've been playing a little bit of Bitos Plus, which is, I like to call it, it's kind of a comparison or a mashup of Tetris and parkour running, kind of, sort of. It's kind of an odd comparison, but that's a lot of what it is. It's you're using Tetris pieces, but you're creating on the screen. There are these things called Bitos that you have to complete. They're squares that are usually 2x3, 2x2, 3x3 squares that you have to place these tetraminos, for lack of a better word. You have to place them on the screen to form these shapes. And so, it starts you out with a piece, and instead of all the pieces dropping, you get to place them anywhere on the board you want. And that's why I kind of compare it to the, parkour free running type thing. But then I've also been playing a little bit of, a 5-in-1 solitaire game, which is solitaire. It's for review. If you like solitaire, you'll probably enjoy it. It's fairly bare bones. There's not a lot of flash and presentation to it, but it's good. It's solitaire. And I've also been playing, and probably the one I've enjoyed the most, I picked up BitTrip Void this week.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't played BitTrip Void yet, and it is a completely different game from BitTrip Beat or BitTrip Core, and that's kind of something that's been running in the series now, is that every game is somewhat similar in that it's, music rhythm-based, but the gameplay for the games is completely different. And in this one, you have complete control over your character, which is essentially, it's just this black ball. And you have to use the classic controller, the nunchuck, to move around. And every so often, there will be bits that are flying on the screen. Some of them are black, some of them are white. And you have to collect the black ones while avoiding the white ones. But every time you collect one of the black ones, your character will get a little bigger. And so it gets harder to avoid the white ones. Luckily, you have a button that will let you shrink yourself down in size so that you can start over again. I think there's something to do with score multipliers, depending on how big you are, but I'm not exactly sure. I'll have to go back in and look at that a little bit. But it's a lot of fun. The BitTrip games are just, throwbacks to old school gaming. They're super simple, but you're going to play them for a long, long time. And, in this one, where you kind of had some say over how you collected the beats in the previous games, this one you really have a say in it, because you can move your character anywhere on the screen you want and collect the beats at any point. So it's definitely different. I suggest anybody that's interested in that style of game go pick it up, because it's well worth it. That's going to be it for What's in Your Wii. Let's head on in to talk about the news for this week.
Hey,
right, so what happened in the news this week? That's a good question. I don't know either. Let's find out. First off...
I have a feeling you do know, because you made this list.
I did, and earlier this week, every bit of the news is made up this week, so I made up some good stuff, though. First off, 3D has been kind of the big thing this year with CES. You know, everybody was talking about 3D TVs and all that stuff. And apparently, Nintendo's been thinking about 3D for quite a long time because Mr. Iwata this week said that the GameCube could display in 3D. And here's a little bit of a quote for him talking about that. He said, "To tell you the truth, GameCube is secretly designed to load graphical circuits which display graphics for right and left eyes respectively for a future possibility of realizing 3D gaming experience. So actually, we have had an interest in this technology, but I've had some doubt about everyone needing glasses to play." And I think that is really the thing that is holding back people from wanting to adopt 3D technology. I know people like me and Shelby who wear glasses, it's really a bit of an issue.
Well, they're going to have to fix something because when Avatar comes to home DVDs, we're going to need to watch it in 3D. I have yet to see it in 3D.
I have
never. I refuse to go see the movie in 3D because I don't want to do the double glasses thing. But this whole 3D thing, I don't... CES, I mean, you hear a lot of the industry, you know, nobody, like, why is 3D the big deal? Like, well, they just, HD is finally catching on and they got to have the next thing to get everybody to buy a new TV. And personally, I think 3D is going to just kind of fall flat. I mean, it's one of those things that they've always tried to make to be the big deal to get in everybody's home, and it always kind of falls flat. It kind of comes up about every 5 years or so, and Avatar has definitely kind of led into it this time, but I don't think 3D is ever going to catch on big at home, especially because of the glasses thing. Even if they find a way around the glasses, it's still the kind of thing that will cause you headaches. Virtual Boy.
Right. That wasn't headaches, that was cancer.
Yeah, eye cancer. But I kind of find it ironic that GameCube, mind you,
Dolphin,
was supposed to be for graphics for 3D technology, supposedly, or had the capabilities of it. Kind of funny. I wonder if that's where they got the name from.
I hadn't thought
about
that.
3D on Rad Racer.
Yeah, if you wore red and black or red and blue glasses.
I think 3D it's the next big thing. You know, everybody's going to be doing it in the future. I think it's one of those things that, at least at this point, as far as I'm concerned, that if I can go out and, accidentally buy a TV that has 3D technology in it, I'm going to do it, but I'm not going to go out looking for a TV that has, 3D capabilities because I don't have any reason to do it. I don't have, movies that I want to watch in 3D. I don't have a PS3 that can, play games in 3D now.
I'd like to see you explain to your wife how you accidentally bought a TV.
Well, actually, I accidentally bought a TV last year, but,
this is becoming a regular thing.
After about 3 or 4 years of, trying to convince her I needed a new TV, we finally broke down and got one last year and jumped into the HD market because the power button on our old TV was going out. So I said that was a good enough reason, I think, to get a new TV.
What? The remote was messing up?
No, I didn't. No, the power button on the TV itself. The remote still worked fine.
Wait, so the excuse for the new TV is you couldn't get up out of the chair to turn it on. You had to turn it on with the remote only.
Yeah.
From the chair. Okay.
So, but, we needed a new TV anyway, but,
I'm totally going to jinx myself here, but I bought a big screen TV, I've had this thing for 5 years maybe. It still has the batteries in the remote that came with it. I have not changed them yet.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it shows how little I use it. Or how little I use, I don't actually watch TV or cable, so I'm not changing channels, so it's either on or off, and then maybe volume every now and then, so.
I'm a constant channel surfer, so. Commercials, I cannot stand them. But anyway, talking about 3D, Mr. Iwata was also talking about, not 3D, HD. Mr. Iwata was talking about HD on the Wii, and, he said if asked if making the Wii compatible with high definition, just making it compatible with high resolution, will get players throughout the world to buy it. I would, of course, say, do you think it would sell with just that? Let's put something new in it. And then, if there were no rival makers in the world, I'd give examples of the things we're considering. However, for competitive reasons, I cannot give specifics today on the what or when of the things we're considering. And so, you know, the talk about HD Wii is still going on, but I wanted to bring this story up because there were a couple stories that kind of linked to it that we found this week. Has nothing to do with Zelda, at least not at this point. There was a rumor from an employee at a major publisher, not knowing which publisher this is, but there's some speculation that maybe it was Sega or High Voltage. They said this employee said that they had just heard a rumor that you might be interested in, and that Nintendo is going to announce a new platform at GDC, which I think takes place in March, and that some developers have already started work on this new console. And then that also ties into this story about The Grinder, which was going to be a Wii-exclusive game from High Voltage that was going to be their version of kind of Left 4 Dead for the Wii. It's that, you know, four-player co-op shooter, but instead of zombies, you're shooting, you know, aliens and monsters and things. And
now, when you say their version, you don't mean like Nintendo's making this.
No, no, no. It's High Voltage. It was going to be the Wii's version of of Left 4 Dead. And they're talking about that because Grindr's no longer going to be a Wii exclusive. They're going to ship on the 360, the PS3, and the PC. But the thing that kind of caught people's interest was that they were delaying the entire game rather than, you know, putting out the Wii version now and making it a Wii exclusive for a little while. They're delaying the game until Halloween of 2011 because they're working on new high-resolution art. And, you know, they were saying that with the move to all of the current generation systems, higher resolution art content needs to be created. And so people kind of were thinking that maybe that's a bit of them maybe saying that they're working on a new version of the Wii as well, because you don't need to delay the Wii version for that long to create new high resolution art.
Yeah, I don't know. Sounds pretty thin.
It is.
Will my new Wii have a hard drive that's 150 gigs?
The new Wii better have some kind of hard drive.
That's funny.
Will I have headset?
Again, that's a good question. I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see about that.
Will I have Smash Brothers 16 player online co-op in a burning tower of ashes and volcano lava and stuff?
That would be an awesome version of Smash Brothers.
I have no idea what he just said. I'm not going to put it past Nintendo. I mean, I can see them coming out with a Wii HD, but honestly, I mean, I don't know that they really need to. I mean, it's what fans are clamoring for, but I mean, it seems kind of like a weird move to me that they would put it out. And this whole thing about the Grinder maybe leading to it, I don't know. And I kind of find Iwata's statement kind of ironic, talking about why would we release something with just a minor increase in graphics or something like that. We wouldn't do something like that. They do that all the time!
Isn't like every version of the DS now a minor improvement over the previous one?
But we've been hearing these Wii HD rumors for going on, what, 2 years now?
You've been hearing Wii HD rumors since the Wii came out.
If anything, they're just going to sit on it, and the next console they make, the Wii 2 or whatever you want to call it, well, I've no doubt will have HD capabilities. They kind of have to do that at this point. They kind of needed to do it last time, but they somehow got away with it. But I don't think they're going to come out with a Wii HD. I mean, it'd be awesome if they did, something that would upscale Smash and Kart and stuff like that, but
it would be interesting. I think Nintendo's going to be the first to the next generation of consoles.
Yeah.
I don't have much doubt about that. I think they're the ones that need it more than anybody else. That way they can get up to the same level that the other two consoles are at as far as features go.
But will as many people buy it as they did the Wii if it has all that stuff?
That's a really good question. And it's also, I think, going to depend a lot on the price point of that console.
I'd tell you right now the answer is no, no matter what. Well, I don't know. I could be wrong. I didn't think the Wii was going to sell like it did. Nintendo knows a lot that I don't, so
They could call it Wii 64.
I think they should call it the Super Wii, but, you know, that's just me.
There you go. We're taking it old school.
The so, Wii Entertainment System.
And talking about developers for Wii, some kind of, I don't know if it's sad or depressing or, you know, it's just kind of interesting news. There was a report from Gamma Sutra this week where they did a survey of 800 different game developers who have supported Nintendo's console, you know, through the last generation and through the Wii. And according to that survey, in 2009, 42% of the developers that they talked to had released some form of software for Wii. You know, that would, I would imagine, be in the form of a game. But during 2010, only 30% of those developers say they plan on releasing new products for Wii. And they were all citing a softening of the Wii market, which sounds like, you know, they're saying, you know, the casual market is tearing Wii down. But, you know, what do you guys think about, you know, that's a fairly significant drop in percentage of people that are going to be supporting Wii in the next year.
Well, if, I don't know, it just seems like I used to buy more Wii games than I do now. And I don't know if that's just me or if there's just not the games I don't want all came out back then and they're not making the games I want anymore. I don't know. It could be bad for Wii.
I don't think it really matters, honestly, because, I mean, the reason anybody buys a Nintendo console is for the first-party Nintendo games, and those are always going to be there.
Well, that's true.
I mean, the third-party stuff we get, be it Mad World or Dead Space Extraction or whatever, I mean, those I always kind of just see as the bonuses. You're always going to have a few great third-party hits, but you come to Nintendo for your Marios, your Metroids, your Zeldas, your Mario sport games, and, you know, your Pokemons and everything else like that, so.
But you used to come to Nintendo to play games back in the day. And, like, I mean all games, NES and Super Nintendo.
Well, at that point, they were the only, you know, game in town.
So that's what they need to get. They need to get back to that point. And to do that, Reggie needs to start beating up people.
I mean, the companies that make money on Wii are going to continue to make games for it. Now, you're talking 30% versus 42%. You know, what's this 12% we're missing? Are we going to lose 12% of Imagine Baby's Party Dance or stuff like that, you know? Who's to say that these 12% we're losing are the 12% we like? Maybe we're losing the crappy 12%. So this could be a good thing. Get rid of some of that shovelware.
Well, one developer and publisher we know is going to be supporting Wii because they've had some success, but at the same time they haven't, is Sega.
Sega!
And
Wait just a second. Stalling for
Sega! There you go. All right,
there we go.
It was announced this week that Sonic the Hedgehog is going to be coming back in 2D.
Finally!
The Project Needle Mouse was officially revealed as Sonic the Hedgehog 4, Episode 1 this week. And
Sega!
Oh yeah, Peter's here.
Oh wait.
Hey,
so,
I'm just adding to it. I'm not being late. I'm trying to beat this thing and it's killing me.
Are you still playing Metroid?
Hey, sometimes...
Hey, you leave him alone. You let him play Metroid.
Okay.
He's doing more important things in this podcast.
Let's talk about Sonic.
Listening.
This is going to be Sonic the Hedgehog 4, which means they're, you know, not throwing out all those 3D Sonic games they've done, but they're going back to 2D side-scrolling Sonic only. No friends, no Tails, no Knuckles. No nobody. It is just Sonic. And it sounds like it's going to be an episodic, you know, series because of the Episode 1 would be a good clue. So we're not exactly sure what is going to be, you know, episodic about it. But, you know, that does signify that they're thinking of more than just one Sonic the Hedgehog game in 2D. And Sonic is a game that I've played. I've played those old school Sega Sonics, but they're not my favorites. They're good. I preferred Mario over Sonic in the day. But I'm excited about this news, and I'm really interested in seeing how Sega does, because Capcom had huge success with going back to, you know, Mega Man's roots with Mega Man 9 and now Mega Man 10. Are you guys as excited about this news as, you know, a lot of people have been this week?
If it's like Sonic 2, I will play it every day and beat it and figure out where I can make new Sonic dances.
Oh, I'm telling you, right now, this doesn't matter. Fool me once, Sonic, shame on you. Fool me 13 times, shame on me. How many times have we been set up like, oh, they finally, Sega's going to do it right. Sonic Teams are going to prove that they're actually, you know, good and make a good Sonic game. They can't do it. They've been trying for like 13 years or whatever. It's gone. Sonic's dead. Just let him die. He's in Brawl.
He's alive. He's alive, and he's kicking Mario's butt in Brawl, and he's playing Sonic 2 on my Xbox 360.
I'm telling you right now, the reason Sonic games haven't been good isn't because they can't figure it out. It's because Sega has been lazy about it. I mean, they've just been lazy about it. We'll give him a sword in this one. Oh, we'll do this. Sonic Unleashed, that could have been it. They could have done it. They didn't. They chose not to. They like, oh, they always came up with these goofy reasons, and I don't think this is going to be any different. Sonic's, it's done. I'm calling it.
No, it'll be like Mega Man 9. He'll come back and he'll kick everybody's butt.
How dare you compare Sega to Capcom?
Well, this new Sonic is not going to be the old 16-bit style sprites. It is an updated graphical style, and Sonic has... It's a little bit of a different motion to his movement now. It's not exactly the same, but, you know, they were saying, they did come back later in the week and talk about his running movement and said that the movement that you see in the trailer is not his fastest movement, because people were saying that he looked a little slow in the trailer. And they said he definitely has a faster speed.
Wait, there's a trailer?
There is. It's you.
Is it on YouTube right now?
I would imagine you can find it on YouTube.
Ah!
If you type in Project Needle Mouse, you're going to get an old teaser trailer that didn't show anything. But
you have to go look for Sonic the Hedgehog 4 Episode 1 trailer.
I'm telling you right now, folks, Sonic can't come home again. It's done. They could have done this years ago. They didn't. There was a reason. Because Sega cannot make a good Sonic game anymore. That's it. End of story.
They can. They're just stupid.
They're not. They didn't all of a sudden get smart last night before they decided to make Sonic 4. They could have done this years ago. They haven't gotten any smarter. They're just trying one more time. Like, we're gonna fool everybody. This is a Sonic game you've been wanting. Oh look, we got a Werehog.
Were people saying the same thing about maybe Mega Man before? Because those Mega Man Battle Network games and all those are, you know, at least in my opinion, terrible games. You know, Mega Man is at his best when he's in the 2D side-scrolling style.
Yeah, but I don't think comparing, you know, maybe kind of a lull in Mega Man games versus a lull in Sonic games, I think that's two different things. Just because, I mean, how many times have they tried to bring back Sonic? How many times have they said, oh, this is the Sonic game you've all wanted? How many times have our hopes and dreams come crashing down around us and shattered our hearts as Sonic just comes out in some other... He had a sword. What was that about?
I think
I just watched the trailer.
Link had a sword.
And it's all good. Even though it's only half a second, it's all good.
Yeah, there is it's a very small snippet of actual new gameplay. They spent three-fourths of the trailer showing you what Sonic was like to make you remember. And I think, you know, that comparison you were making a minute ago about, you know, Sega and Capcom is, you know, Sega was saying every time they put out a new Sonic game, this is going to be the Sonic game that brings you back. Capcom wasn't really doing that with Mega Man. They said they had, you know, they had moved on. They were sticking with the, you know, RPG-style Mega Man games in recent years, and they weren't saying this is going to be Mega Man's return to form. You know, they just said, look, here's a new Mega Man. It's going to be 2D side-scrolling Mega Man 9. And people said, awesome.
Yeah. Did you just bring up a point and then, like, counter yourself, by the way?
I don't know. Did I?
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't think so. I'll have to go back and listen to that. We have a couple more pieces of news. One is not necessarily Nintendo-related. It's just that Mark Bozon is leaving IGN.
What?
Yeah. he's gone. He says he's staying within the industry, and he's going to still be on the press side in L.A. So feel free to track him down and make fun of his typos or claim that he hates Nintendo anytime.
Huh. So is he still on the industry side? I mean, is he going to be working full-time for Way Forward now, or do we know? Or
well, he says he's going to be working on the press side still.
Yeah, press side. There it is. Huh. Well, what do you know?
So I don't know. You know, I listen to IGN and the Nintendo podcast for a long time, but the last few weeks I've not been very impressed with it. It seems, and I think a lot of people have thought this, that IGN's Nintendo team has been very down on Nintendo and hasn't had a lot nice to say about them in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I listened to the Nintendo voice chat as well, and I still like them. I mean, I still like Craig Harris and those guys, and there's definitely kind of been some highs and lows with the IGN once Nintendo staff, Damon Hatfield, to be sure, his whole thing. But, I mean, I still like all those guys, and Bozon will be missed. I like Boz.
I like the podcast was at its best when it was, you know, Matt and Mark and Craig. And those three right there were pretty much what I listened to the voice chat podcast for.
Yeah, I'll admit that I don't enjoy it as much without Matt Casamassina because he's really the strongest Nintendo guy at IGN, I feel, and I don't think anybody will disagree with that. But, I don't know. It's good luck, Bozon, wherever you're at.
And our last little piece of news for this week is one that's probably going to happen a lot, and Mr. Miyamoto was given a Lifetime Achievement Award at the 13th Annual Japan Media Arts Festival. And it was well-deserved, you know. There's no doubt about it.
Seems like every day I hear about Miyamoto getting some other award for this or for that. I mean, not that the man doesn't deserve it. I mean, let him run the planet for all I care. He deserves it, but... this guy gets more awards than anybody I've ever known.
When am I right? Gonna get my award?
I will give you an award.
When you single-handedly make three or four of the greatest game franchises ever.
If I single-handedly
buy
some games?
You will get a reward.
Yeah.
Call it a receipt.
There you go.
I single-handedly stick an NES game in my system. Without blowing in it, without cleaning it, and it works when I hit power first try.
That's just being a rebel. Nintendo games don't work. It's been scientifically proven that you have to blow into an NES cartridge to get it to work.
How about playing Virtual Boy for 5 hours straight without burning my eye socket?
That means we need to check you for some cybernetics or something. Because that's just not humanly possible.
I think, like you guys said, the NES games work better with more carbon dioxide. That's why you had to blow on every game.
I thought of an award.
Okay.
I still have my original Wiimote straps that, without the extra thick string or whatever.
Yeah, that is good.
Have never broken.
I'm playing with one right now that I broke by, you know, just kind of throwing it into my chair one day. I didn't throw it on the ground or into the TV like some people I've seen on the computer. I did was I kind of threw it down into my recliner one day, and it hit the cushion, and the snap broke.
Yeah, I broke both of mine too. Both of them from playing Red Steel, and one of them was a very similar thing. I just threw the remote down and it snapped. You know, those things weren't very strong.
Yeah,
I win. Give me an award.
We had wrist straps broken with Wii Sports when, you know, 5-year-old and 6-year-old daughters were bowling and they got their hand caught on the couch and the strap broke and you see the Wii remote slide across the living room floor under the TV stand. And she thought she was going to be in so much trouble.
No, they won't get in trouble, especially when we were little, chunking the NES controllers as hard as we can at the ground, at the TV. On purpose.
Yeah, we've all been there, I think.
And that
Bugs Bunny's birthday blowout. Oh my gosh.
Well, that is going to do it for the news this week, and we're going to go into a discussion about handheld gaming. the iPhone has kind of taken off as a bit of a gaming platform in the last year, year and a half. And a lot of people are saying that it is a worthy, you know, competitor or even a better platform than the DS or the PSP. And so we're going to just people on the internet, you know, it's huge. There are lots of opinions out there, most of them behind anonymous names. But so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I don't have an iPhone. I think, Shelby, you're the only one on the show that does. Do you play a lot of games on it?
I do. I don't know. I don't play it more than I play my DS, I would say. But I think the advantage to the iPhone as a portable gaming device versus the DS is I always have my cell phone with me. It's always in my pocket everywhere I go. It's always with me no matter what. My DS isn't always with me because it's just not. I don't need my DS all the time like I do my phone. I don't necessarily need my phone all the time, but I have it with me. I think that's where the iPhone really prevails over the DS. It's just the fact that people already have their cell phones with them. So it's already there, you know, pull my phone out of my pocket while I'm waiting in line for 13 minutes for a movie ticket versus, you know, haul my DS around with me, have something else in my pocket that I got to worry about breaking or dropping. That's really the advantage that the iPhone has, I think. Now, game-wise, you can't get the same experience from a DS than you can, or from an iPhone that you can from a DS. You can't. I don't think anybody would be able to make Spirit Tracks, let's say, work on an iPhone necessarily as well. You're getting a different caliber of game, but you know it's still a game nonetheless. So.
Well, you know, on you know the Spirit Track note, I think Spirit Tracks is one of those games you could make work on the iPhone because you don't need buttons, and all you need is the ability to touch the screen. You know, the problem is going to be the dual screen type thing. You know, iPhone, as far as, you know, in my opinion, they're competitors. Because everybody's competing for your entertainment dollars. You know, you've only got so much that you can spend every month on gaming. And, you know, iPhone has a lot of games out there that are a lot of fun. I've, you know, heard people talking about them. You know, so obviously, you know, there's millions of downloads for, what, thousands of games on the iPhone App Store now?
I don't know. I haven't counted them.
Well, you should. That's your homework for this week. Count the number of games in the App Store.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
So, you know, I don't think it's definitely not going to give you that same experience of the DS, but it's one of those that you're getting a completely different experience, and it's one that people obviously want.
I'll put it this way with the DS real quick. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Will. When I pick up my DS, I don't necessarily think of my DS as a portable gaming console that can go with me anywhere I go. I just think of my DS as another system that I can play games in a different way with the touchscreen. And, I mean, I have some games on my iPhone. I have Resident Evil 4 and, like, Resident Evil Degeneration, and I haven't even played them. You know, I bought them, and they're the kind of games that I would necessarily probably play on my DS. But I tend to play on my iPhone, you know, a little short, like, oh, I'll play air hockey for 5 minutes, or I'll play Mancala, or, you know, some sort of goofy puzzle game or Jelly Car or something like that. You know, something I'll play for 30 seconds, you know, versus
dropping
the microphone while we're recording the podcast.
Sorry. Crutches hit the mic.
That's
kick the crutches.
That's Will Wackerman, people. Write in all your comments to the podcast to Will Wackerman.
It's Will Wackerman at Nintendo-Oki.com.
Will Wackerman. I'm not saying.
I'm going to write an email.
So, anyway, what were you saying, Shelby?
I think I was done. Just how I tend to play, like, you know, 30-second games on my iPhone versus, you know, maybe playing, you know, 5-minute games or, you know, half-hour games or whatever on my DS. So.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the DS gives you that completely different style of game than you would get on the Wii, and then you have the iPhone, which gives you another completely different style of game. So, yeah. You know, when people say that the DS and the iPhone are competitors, it's true. you know, they are competing for what you want to do and play. And go ahead.
How about when people buy a DS, they buy it because they're gamers,
mm-hmm.
or they want to play games, or which is the same thing. Anyway, when people buy an iPhone, it's probably not the first thing on their mind. It's for gaming.
Actually,
so the people who play games on iPhone, I don't think most of them necessarily bought it in the first place to play games. I don't know. I don't know if it can. It's like a complete. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Competitor, like.
Well, I think what you're trying to kind of get at is the DS will probably always be a stronger gaming console because it's solely based on gaming.
Mm-hmm.
You're definitely, you know, this major portion of it with the DSi. You'll have a few apps like Calendar and whatever else. We're not even going to get into that. But, you know, like Will said, the iPhone, it's a camera, it's a phone, it's a video camera, it's a 3G device. It does all these things, and gaming is just, you know, one small thing or, you know, one small thing in the list of all the stuff that it can do. So I think the DS will always be stronger game-wise because it is solely gaming. But,
yeah, but then,
the iPhone is still there with the ability to do some games.
Yeah, you know, then Apple also, you know, threw in the iPad now, which they're, I think, really marketing as a gaming device. It's a, you know, tablet computer, but you saw during the press conference, you know, that significance they put on games and getting games to work on the iPad, which
you know
has...
You know why they call it the iPad? Because DSi XL was already taken.
Ah.
And so they couldn't just call it the iPhone XL like they wanted.
That would have been... That's all it is. I mean, you know, that's the one thing that I noticed and, you know, the immediately came to my mind was this is nothing but a giant iPod Touch.
Yeah, essentially. It'll be the same kind of thing. I mean, it's Apple's thing. It'll sell because it's Apple and, you know, the Apple fans will buy the Apple products.
And then next year they'll have another version of it that will be better than this version of it.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll
have a webcam in it.
I swear I will never buy another Apple product.
You're going to buy a Mac in, like, a few months, probably.
So that, you know, Apple's coming out with new hardware all the time is another thing I think that could hold it back a little bit. Because not everybody buys a new iPhone or a new iPod every year. And so you would start to segment that base a little bit.
You mean like the DSi?
Well, that's true. You know, Nintendo is doing that now.
They have always done that. They release a new Game Boy, whatever, every year.
Yeah, but the Game Boys could all still do the same thing. You know, it's not like the iPhone or the iPod that has, you know, better networking capabilities and is faster and has better graphical capabilities every year.
Nintendo does improve on their designs every year. Now, granted, you know, a Game Boy Color would still play Game Boy games, but, you know, an iPad 2G will probably run the same apps that an iPad 1G will.
But, you know, the people that are still using the 1G aren't going to be able to get the games now that a person playing on the 2G would be able to get.
I can't buy DSiWare games because I got an original DS, you know? So.
But...
There's several parallels.
If they make one every year, if they make a gaming system, they make one every like 5 years, and so you can get games for 5 years. But if they make one every year, you can only get games for that year and back. So, like, you better just wait till they make the last one if you want to play all the games.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a method to their product development and their releasing of iterative designs like that. But it's that's what Apple does. That's kind of what Nintendo does too. I mean, that's just the industry. You gotta you got to make people buy new hardware to buy new software. It's just how fast do you want to do it. Obviously, Apple wants to do it as often as possible.
And it's obviously been working for them.
They're doing pretty well, I hear.
They do make money.
Yeah, they always defeat PCs on those commercials.
Totally owns that PC guy in the suit. I'm wearing a sweatshirt.
It's Justin Long. What do you expect?
I was in that new Die Hard
movie.
My
idea.
What?
What?
7 was my idea.
Oh, yeah, great.
Windows.
Yeah, why would they make Windows 7 if they already had, like, 98? Isn't that, like, way better?
Should be.
It's a little higher number.
But, you know, they also had Windows 2000, which is even better.
Like, why didn't they call it Windows Doppler 89,000 or something?
Because the people at Microsoft that come up with the names for their products are the same people that run the WiiWare shop. It's just a bunch of monkeys.
A bunch of monkeys making bananas.
Just doing stuff for bananas.
Is it because it's the same people who name the movie titles like First Blood, Rambo First Blood Part 2, Rambo 3?
Yep, same people, same monkeys. Those monkeys are a secret organization that have influences throughout all of the entertainment industry. The most powerful monkeys in the world.
Spider monkeys.
Spider monkeys.
The Great Monkey Alliance.
Does whatever a spider monkey does.
Louie. King Louie.
Tailspin?
Wow.
I don't know what we're talking about.
What are we actually? What the heck's going on?
I think we're talking about
monkeys. Davy and Mickey and Mike and Peter.
It's true.
You know, no one knows what I'm talking about. You're not from the 60s anymore.
I was never from the 60s.
I don't think I was ever from the 60s either.
I'm from the 80s.
Weak.
The greatest generation of generations ever, if you were born in the 80s.
Wow. I'm not even... I'm just on the podcast, and I'm getting bored with this.
Well, let's move on then, shall we? And we'll talk about last week's question block. All right, guys, and here are the answers to last week's question block. And the first question was, as is usual now, a music question. And the music that you heard last week was from the Weather Channel in Harvest Moon: A Wonderful Life, which is my favorite Harvest Moon game, and the game series that I prefer over Animal Crossing.
What? You prefer... Oh, I'm sorry. I was blinded by rage there for a minute.
Question two, I wanted you to name one virtual console game that was released on Christmas Day in 2006.
Oh,
and,
I got it.
What do you have?
Mario.
Super Mario Brothers was one of the ones released. Then you also had Street Fighter II. Super Castlevania 4, R-Type for the TurboGrafx-16 was released on Christmas Day.
I have that one.
And that was it.
I got Castlevania also.
So there you go. Those were the games that were released on Christmas Day 2006. And then question three, I asked, what game was developed by a company called Works and was a vertical shooter set in a fantasy world? And the game was King's Knight. And in the game, you played as a knight who was moving, you know, from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen, and he was shooting out swords in front of him. So it was a vertical, you know, shooter, essentially. But it was a fantasy RPG, you know.
I have that game.
You do?
Yeah, I have that game. But I also thought it could have been another game.
What?
Dragon Spirit. Which is kind of like a fantasy world, except you're a dragon instead of an airplane shooting up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I will accept either of those answers then. I was not aware of that one.
So this King's Knight thing, is it K-N-I-G-H-T or N-I-G-H-T?
It's K-N-I-G-H-T.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. King's Knight. Yeah, that's a pun. See what they did there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
it's got a knight on the cover.
And question four, I wanted to know the name of Ryu's partner in the CIA that he was accused of murdering. And this comes from, I believe, Ninja Gaiden 3, and her name was Irene Liu.
Oh, I was going to guess Ken.
No, that's from Street Fighter.
Oh. Well, then Ken.
Okay, there you go. Chun-Li.
Tammy.
Oh, gosh, I watched the Legend of Chun-Li movie this week.
Was it great?
Oh, it was horrible. That was absolutely horrid.
Hey, it wasn't that bad.
No, it was that bad. Nothing made any sense. Chun-Li just decided to become homeless for a while in the movie, and
Liu Kang was in it.
Decided to be.
Vega was in it for about 60 seconds. Oh, God, that movie's bad.
Decided to be. But it's so awesome that the best fighter in Street Fighter is Liu Kang.
Oh, wait.
All right,
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead. I guess we should probably do the podcast.
The last question from last week was, what was the code name for the Nintendo 64 during its development?
Project Needle Mouse.
No, that was the code name for Sonic the Hedgehog 4.
I looked this up, like, Wednesday, and I forgot the answer.
The answer is Project Reality.
Reality! God!
Yes! Now I have a new name for my 64.
Idiot.
You still
Let's play Reality.
You still don't call your GameCube the Dolphin.
I'm going to start.
I know you said that, but you haven't done it yet.
Well, I haven't had a chance to play the Dolphin yet.
Do you call your Wii the Revolution?
Yeah, I always have called it the Revolution.
You've never called it the Revolution, even though we vowed that we would never call it the Wii, just like everyone else in the world. I'm going to call my GameCube the Porpoise.
Can we play the Endless Ocean on the Dolphin?
Nope.
I played Hits 2003 on Porpoise. Ba-doots.
I want to play some Reality tonight.
Well, we're going to talk about Reality later, but we're going to do it after the question block. So let's talk about this week's questions, not answers.
Let's talk about this week's answers, and then you give us the questions. Let's do a Jeopardy thing.
Yes.
All right, and the first question is, as going to be normal now, is a music piece that will be played right now. Question two is, what are the sequence of buttons you needed to push for the Konami code?
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah, I know that.
This is everywhere, so if you don't know this one by memory, you will find it very, very easily.
Man, there are people that don't know that by memory because they've never played Contra or Life Force. Man, I feel so sorry for those people that didn't grow up with a Nintendo and stuff.
And then there are some people who know the Konami code and don't realize they know the Konami code. Like my wife, who found out that you could put it in Facebook or MySpace or someplace like that.
Facebook, yeah.
And it does something.
Yep.
Ooh, mysterious.
And you can put it in Google Reader, and I think a ninja pops up in the sidebar.
Ninja?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense.
Question three for this week is, who is the major circuit champion in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out?
Neo.
Oh, nice. I like that. That's a good question.
George
Foreman. Wait, did Will say Neo?
He did.
Like, from The Matrix.
No.
He was a secret character.
I know kickboxing. Show me.
And question four. I want to know how many playable characters there were in the original Super Mario Kart.
Super Mario what?
Kart.
11,000.
K-A-R-T.
It's Mario Kart. Oh, yeah. I know that game.
It's a driving game.
Yeah, that's a good driving game.
T.T.
E.T.?
E.T.
I want to play as E.T.
T.T. Diddy Kong Race.
E.T. Drive Home.
And then question five is, what is the name of Mario's backpack in Super Mario Sunshine?
Oh, yeah, I know that one, too. Hey, I'm doing good. I got this week down. I think I can beat everybody out there. Except for, you know, that song clip at the beginning that I couldn't hear because you edited in after the podcast.
Well, there you go.
I'm breaking the fourth wall. Oh, no.
And so those are the questions for this week. And as always, you can send the answers to the question block to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. And you will be entered for a chance at the end of the month to win a virtual console or WiiWare game of your choice up to 1,000 points.
Pick Pokemon Ranch. Unless that's too much.
No, I think they should pick Pokemon Snap. It's a good game.
I'd go with Pokemon. I don't think that's available.
If I had to pick a game that I didn't have, I mean, I've already got it, but if I had to pick a game, it would be Winter of the Melodious on WiiWare.
Oh, yeah, the new
Lost Winds game.
Lost Winds.
Yeah, but Pokemon Rumble on WiiWare is more than 1,000 points, so they can't pick that one. So there you go.
Gotta catch them all.
Gotta catch them all.
But,
Digimon.
Before we end the show, we're going to talk about what we're going to do on the show next week. And
whoa, what's this? Coming out of left field.
What?
It is something new. And it's something we've kind of talked about this week about doing, not a game club style thing, but we'll call it, the audio retro redo or something like that to fit in with what we already do on the site. And if you don't know, it's something I have done in the past and I want to get back into doing a retro redo on Fridays where I take an old Nintendo game from anywhere from the NES all the way up to the GameCube and I play through it that week and I just talk about it on the site. And we're going to do that here on the show next week. And anybody that wants to join in, feel free, send us your thoughts on the game that we're going to be playing. And for the first game in the audio retro redo we're going to do is going to be Excitebike 64 on the Nintendo 64.
Jumpin' Jim Rivers. Easter.
I still like the name Nintendalorian, I think. Just going to throw that out there. Listeners, write in. Tell us what name you like. Tell Tony that you think Nintendalorian's a good name for this segment.
I think it should be called Experimental Gaming.
Oh, my gosh. Not that again.
And this is going to be something we do probably every other week on the show. We're going to start next week and then 2 weeks after that. We'll tell you next week what game we're going to be doing for the next one. But
what game are we going to be doing for this one, Tony?
This one we're doing Excitebike 64, as I mentioned a minute ago.
Oh, did you already say that?
I did.
That's why we said Jumpin' Jim Rivers.
Oh, hey, yeah. You can tell I did say, wow.
Get ready for that for next week. If you guys have any thoughts on the game, what you like about it, what you don't like about it, if you think it's the worst game ever, if you think it's the best game ever, just send us an email. You can send us any of the feedback for that or any of the feedback for the show in general to podcast@nintendo-oki.com. Or you can follow us on Twitter. Leave us tweets there. It's twitter.com/Nintendo_Oki. Or you can head on over to the forums and leave a comment in the podcast section. And that site is nintendo-oki.justforum.net. So, send us your feedback, talk to us, let us know what you think. If you think we're doing good, if you think we're doing bad, I don't care. I just, I want to hear from you guys. But that... Sure, why not?
You
can tell me I'm the worst host ever. The worst boss ever. I don't care.
No, if I tell you you're the worst host ever, you'll probably make me or Will be the host. And neither of us want to do it, so...
Oh, well, there you go. So that's going to be it for the show this week, guys. I want to thank you guys for joining me. I want to thank everybody out there for listening. But until next week, we'll see you later.
Nintendo-orian revolution.
Dedicated hug button. Bye, guys.